The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
Thanks for having me, Paul. Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston, hour number two. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant. What are some random things on this May the 4th that you dislike about Houston sports the same way that Anakin Skywalker dislikes sand? It's my favorite line from the entire movie franchise. George Lucas's scripts were terrible. There's nothing Hayden Christensen could have done as Anakin Skywalker. He gets a lot of grief for being Anakin and not being what people wanted out of Anakin. I thought, honestly, he played Anakin great. I think the big problem is George Lucas couldn't write a script to save his life. Like, he has no idea how humans talk to each other.
So, did someone else write the first three movies or something? Like, what happened there?
I'm not sure.
Did he hit his head in between the two trilogies?
Someone got in there and perhaps guided Lucas in another direction. Because the dialogue throughout a lot of the prequels is just terrible. Like, no one sounds like that. There are other gripes I have with Star Wars, but I want to continue talking about random things that you dislike about Houston sports. Someone texted in, I don't like the Texans' uniform colors. Wait, you hate the colors of the great state of Texas? We should deport you immediately. Immediately. That is treason, sir. Oh, I don't like the colors of Texas. What's next? You're going to say you don't like the colors of the United States of America? These colors don't run. We'll put a boot in your ass and something, something. I don't know the rest of the words of the song. How dare you? How dare you? I don't mind the colors. I just mind that the uniform hasn't really changed at all and the team's been in existence for 20 years.
Well, you know, you can't change all the winning that's connected to those uniforms. Same thing we're talking about the Rockets. Like, after the back-to-back titles, you can't just change your uniforms. After all those AFC South championships, Brian, you can't change the uniforms. That's crazy.
Not even a slight change.
Nope.
Nothing.
Nope. Did you not see the in 2018
I forgot.
The bigger logo on the back?
I was going to get to the big patch.
And
yeah.
Battle red hats now.
Ooh.
The battle red helmets against the Eagles that one time.
The battle red helmets actually are pretty sick. They are pretty sick.
They're all right.
They're more than all right. The battle red helmets are good.
I'm just a purist when it comes to the Texans look. So if it's not, you know, exactly what David Carr wore, I don't like it. Any change. I'm a purist.
You're a purist. Okay. Other things that people don't like about Houston sports, on the same level that Anakin despises sand. Here's one from me, and I didn't get to it, but a couple of people in the Twitch chat said it as well. You can hear their games on ESPN 92.5. I'm not trying to slander them. I just liked it more when the Sugarland Space Cowboys were the Sugarland Skeeters. Sugarland Skeeters. What a cool nickname, and obviously we deal with a ton of mosquitoes here in this city. It is a swamp. Luckily, I haven't dealt with mosquitoes too much, but I think it's because I generally stay away from the outdoors as much as I can, mainly due to the fact that I might be a daywalker. For those who don't know, if you've watched Blade, the movies, or read the comics, that means I'm a vampire that can walk out in the sunlight, but it's not ideal because I'm very white, you see. Twitch.tv/ESPN975 if you want to confirm. Huh? Anyone?
If you want proof.
You want proof?
If you want proof, go to twitch.com/ESPN975.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
If you don't believe, Paul.
Another text. Bandwagon fans who complain but show up late and leave early in all Houston sports. Okay, I feel like you're throwing a lot of darts at all sorts of people. The people that show up late, there's a lot of that. Traffic in this city is an absolute nightmare at times. And I will say this about games that the Astros play and games that the Rockets play. It is a nightmare to find parking in that area. Unless you have a prepaid pass or something like that. It is a nightmare. And I would say specifically Toyota Center, getting into that parking lot, good luck. You could show up 30 minutes early. It's probably going to take you 15 to 20 minutes to get in. Again, even if you have a pass, that parking lot and the area around it with all the one-way streets is a bleeping disaster. You're not 100% sure where the entrance to the parking lot is. It's in this weird side street. That area is not good as far as getting into the actual game itself. Random things you dislike about Houston sports, at Gallant says on Twitter. twitch.tv/ESPN975 or 713-780-3776. This is an old problem, but I dislike that the Astros used to have the brick red uniforms. They made a World Series in them. I don't know what they were going for with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You don't like that they ever had those uniforms.
Right, like why?
Yeah, okay. I thought you said you're upset that they moved away from them for a sec. No.
I don't get why they went to them. Like, blue and gold makes sense, stars. Blue and orange makes sense, NASA. I don't get brick red. What, because there's bricks at Minute Maid Park?
Well, because the train, like the old train station.
Yeah, that doesn't make
any sense. I will say they really like, especially with the train that, you know, is up there in Minute Maid Park. Like, they really went full throttle on the, like, yeah, this is where trains used to be. It's like no one really cares, dude.
No one cares.
They had Conjunction Jack back in the day. That was a mascot. That was a rabbit. That was a train conductor.
Yeah, he's no Orbit.
No, because Orbit makes sense. That he's a
rabbit.
He's an alien.
Yes, rabbits are not from another planet, believe it or not. Other things that you randomly dislike about Houston sports. Sean, are there any more off the top of your head you can think of? Because obviously you could say the Texans being pretty mediocre forever, the Rockets going out of their way to tank the last couple of years.
The 2018 Game 7. I don't like that. That was coarse and rough and hurt all over or whatever.
There's a lot of bad events that we can look at. I mean, from blowing the 35-3 lead on the Buffalo Bills with the Oilers, the Oilers leaving town, the city not putting up much of a fight to keep the Oilers
not winning
in town,
a home game, in
Bud
the
Adams being cheap, right?
Not, 2019 World Series.
That too. Juan Soto's age. Which isn't Houston sports thing anymore.
I wish he was just a little bit younger, so he couldn't have played. You touched on it. The thing that most gets on my nerves is just the Astrodome. What are we doing with this?
Like, great point.
Let's have a plan. Just any plan. At this point, if you want to blow it up.
The plan's happened.
I don't love blowing it up, but it's better than nothing.
The plan already happened. No, you don't get it, Sean. The city, people of the city, voted to demolish it. And Ed Emmett, crafty MF-er that he was, had it made into a historical landmark. And then there was this idea that people are going to want to turn that into a convention center. And to go back to the original thing that I said that I dislike about Houston sports as a whole, the area around NRG Stadium sucks. Like, there's no reason to go there. Why would you go there? Outside of going to the Texans games, the rodeo, or a concert. There's nothing around it. There's nothing to walk around to. It's just there. And then on top of that, there's this old abandoned building that looks like crap now that used to be this incredible feat of engineering. Now it's just like a pimple, a wart next to NRG Stadium, which is an old stadium as it is. Can't wait for that to happen. The new publicly financed stadium for the Texans. Can't wait. That's going to happen soon.
We just got to do something different. We just got to do something with the Astrodome. Also, we're probably coming up on a new stadium.
It's been 20 years. This is when it's all going to – all the teams around the NFL are going to start looking at themselves in the mirror and wonder whether or not they should build a new one.
Do you think they'll get another retractable roof that they use every once in a while? Do you think that
would
go over well?
Good luck getting that indoors. But that said, they probably will find a way. It's pretty crazy how rarely the roof is open. I mean, shoot.
I saw a couple days ago people are upset about the roof not being open. I want to say on Monday. Was it Monday or Sunday? I forgot which one.
Was it Aaron Boone?
The Giants games.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The people should like that they open the roof for a change. But to be fair, to the Astros at least, for most of the summer, it's miserable here. So you don't want to open the roof. The Texans, there's a lot of good weather in the fall in Texas. Yeah. There's a lot of good weather.
Especially at 1 o'clock or noon kickoff games, yes. Which you get a lot of. I think that's the opposite. I think it would be the Anakin Skywalker bit for most people is the fact that they never open up the domes on any of the retractable roof stadiums. I go the other way. I like that it just gets people's feathers ruffled. I don't know why. It's just a stupid thing to me.
You like the chaos.
Yeah, I just enjoy that that's what gets people going is that they don't open the roof more.
Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Random things you dislike about Houston sports in honor of May the 4th and Anakin's hatred of sand. Up next, peer pressure is making me start to reconsider how I felt a week ago about the Texans trading up into that number 3 overall pick. You'll hear why next. Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
For the most part, I feel the same way about what the Houston Texans did last Thursday. I'm relieved that they drafted a quarterback, any quarterback, and I like that on top of that, they traded into the number 3 overall pick to go and get Will Anderson. I understand some hesitation about what the Texans gave up to get Anderson, swapping pick 12 for 3, giving up pick 33, giving up their first round pick next year, giving up a third round pick. That's a lot. But at the same time, given the lack of energy surrounding any conversation with this team, I get why they did it. It was about more than just the X's and O's, the football. But sometimes you make a purchase and a week later you regret it because you realize, oh, I'm not going to use this. An example, when that Hogwarts Legacy video game came out, I thought to myself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play this, and I'm going to stream myself playing this on Twitch and YouTube and stuff. YouTube.com/Paul Gallant, Twitch.tv/Gallant says.
Unbelievable.
What?
That was seamless right there.
What, Sean, in case
keep going.
I ever do it. So I bought the game, and then because per Pottermore, the website that allows you to do some Harry Potter stuff on the side, I would be in House Slytherin. I bought a Slytherin robe online for $70. Stupid purchase because guess how many times I have even taken it out of the package? 0. Guess how many times I've played Hogwarts Legacy? 1. That was probably a total of $150 that I just pissed down the drain between the two of those things. But at the time when I bought it, I was like, this is hilarious. This is going to be great. And yet here we are. I'm not saying that's what the Will Anderson trade is, but another thing you got to consider, when everybody is saying the same thing nationally about you, yeah, they might not be as educated on a subject about the team that you cover on a daily basis, but without any attachment, they actually might be right. How often are you right when you stubbornly hold your ground against a consensus opinion? Because the consensus opinion is that the Texans traded way too much to trade up to get Will Anderson. So I'm wavering on how I feel. And to make matters worse, I was listening to the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, a podcast. I think Mina Kimes is pretty good when it comes to talking about football. And I especially love when she brings on a former NFL cornerback, Dominique Foxworth, also of ESPN, on the podcast. And there's been something that's been being pushed for those who don't want to admit the Texans gave up a lot to trade up for Will Anderson. I will at least acknowledge they gave up a lot. I just get why they made the move. It's this idea that in trading up for Will Anderson, they were actually trading for CJ Stroud. And maybe I didn't do a very good job of explaining why that's a load of BS, but I really think that both Dominique Foxworth and Mina Kimes did a very good job explaining in bigger words what I wasn't able to do. Here is Dominique Foxworth with Mina chiming in on the most recent episode of that show.
I've yet to hear a coherent argument on the other side of that, because the package deal doesn't work, because like if we had two picks in the draft and then there was a week between that and the third pick, the analysis should be the same as if there was a minute between those.
Yes.
Picks.
Oh, thank you.
Once that happened, then, as you mentioned, the landscape changed. So don't try to wrap it up into a package deal, because it wasn't a package deal. If that were the case, then we could make arguments across 5 years of drafts to say, oh, that's all right. Just wrap it all up. It's one big package. It worked out. That was a good deal. They won the Super Bowl 5 years later. No, it's a terrible deal. It's no way that you can get this value unless Will Anderson turns out to be Lawrence Taylor.
What they said is that you're not giving up. And to wrap it up with that Lawrence Taylor point, by the way, Jesus. That's
seems like a little bit of hyperbole.
But it's a good hyperbole statement to make if you really want to make someone sit. I mean, it took me a second. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. He said he has to be Lawrence Taylor.
He has to be the greatest defensive lineman of all time.
The greatest defensive player of all time. Like, not arguable. Lawrence Taylor is the greatest defender ever. I mean, the guy was showing up like to games after like going on benders and perhaps still having coke in his system, and still would go out, show up like at the middle of the first quarter and have five sacks in a game.
Like James Harden in game one.
Stop. He didn't follow it up with bad performances. But look, it's not about trading for that number three pick and getting Will Anderson and getting CJ Stroud, getting the package deal. It's about, you could have had C.J. Stroud and pick 12 and pick 33, which you could have turned into other things, and you could have had your first-round pick next year, which, let's be honest, that's going to be top 15. I'm not saying it's the end of the world that they traded up for Will Anderson. I get why they did it, so I'm not going to criticize them for it. But you are giving up a lot of cracks at the bat, if you will, draft swings, to go and get this guy in Will Anderson, and he does have to be great to rationalize the move. They stayed on this subject on the most recent episode of the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny for a good 5 to 6 minutes. Here's Mina expanding on it with a strange analogy, but the analogy works.
It's like you buy a car for $5,000 and then you spend $15,000 in tires and you say $20,000 is an okay price for a car. That's how you're trying to justify it right now. And you could have invested that $15,000. And it's a guarantee that $15,000 could have been doubled if you invested it. And all you got was tires.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, Will Anderson. You're better than tires.
He is. I know. I'm not trying to compare him to tires. He's a good player. Okay.
And then on top of it, like, I guess we don't know how strong next year's draft is. But we do know that this year is thought of as not a very strong draft. So if you factor that into the value of the pick, it gets even worse.
Right. And yes, as E315 says, tires don't cost $15,000. Terrible analogy. You're right. But I mean, that's the way it's being justified online by the people who are acting like actually they were trading for CJ Stroud when they traded up. They weren't. They traded for Will Anderson. It was for Will Anderson. You can't say it was a package deal because you made picks back to back. A lot of people are pushing that. I'm sorry. I'm just not accepting it. I'm not. It's this trying to over-explain an aggressive, bold move. It's just an aggressive, bold move. And if it pays out, great. Odds are it probably won't pan out the way that we want it to pan out. But hey, let's call it what it is. So I'm wavering a little bit on the trade and how I feel about it. I still get why they did it. I still like what they did, but I also understand the huge risk. And everyone's saying that this wasn't a smart move long term. Who am I to be one of the few people digging in their heels and saying, yeah, they're wrong. They're all wrong. Because we have done this before in this city when it comes to football. I remember being the first person to pick up my hot take guns and start firing them at Brock Osweiler.
because everyone was like, it just takes time. He's going to figure it out. And I was like, well, we watched this guy in Denver. He wasn't that good then. Peyton Manning was just nearly headless. So that's why Osweiler stepped in. And Osweiler did okay, but he didn't really do anything. People were talking about this victory that he had in New England. And it was like the Patriots lost that game in the snow because they muffed a punt up 21-7. Brock Osweiler had nothing to do with it. And the Broncos had a bunch of like 70-yard touchdown runs.
I was going to say, didn't C.J. Anderson run for like 300 yards or something?
Yeah, it was an insane game. And people were pointing at that and like, well, he beat the Patriots. And I'm like, hey, he was there for the Patriots game. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and text in. A couple of comments on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Everyone wants to save up picks like they're bearer bonds. I'm with you in that the people that cling to the idea that all these picks are going to pan out are also a little bit too optimistic. The thing that Foxworth and Kimes said a little bit later is that this maybe prevents you from getting someone like Marvin Harrison in next year's draft, Marvin Harrison Jr. And Will Henderson hopefully makes a huge difference on the defensive side of things. And if he does, again, there's going to be a lot of people who will be eating their words talking about the trade up. But it is a lot. You can't deny it. And this was not all one package deal. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. How are we feeling about the Houston Astros after they lost 2 of 3 to a team that had diarrhea? Is it going to get any better? Plus, the team that loves to complain is complaining once again. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The whole trip was very grindy, I guess. Like it's been a mental grind. It's been a physical grind. I think 3/4 of our clubhouse has the shit, so like it's not... it's been a mental and physical just like grind. So it'll be good to get back home for sure. Hopefully, the away. You know, we'll be better in a couple of days. But happy we were able to come out of this with the last two wins. You know.
That's Giants pitcher Logan Webb, San Francisco, a fourth place baseball team that's under 500, where per Webb, 3/4 of the roster is dealing with a little mud butt, just took 2 of 3 from your Astros. And I'm getting more and more annoyed by just the lack of production from the guys you're expecting to see production from. Credit to Alex Bregman, at least he had a 2-run homer last night, but Yordan Alvarez strikes out in a big moment. Kyle Tucker strikes out in a big moment. Jeremy Pena strikes out 3 times. All of these yesterday afternoon is part of a 17-inning scoreless streak that the Astros had until Bregman went yard with that 2-run homer. It's one series, long season, still early, yada, yada, yada. But it's just a momentum-killing series to lose 2 of 3 to this team that was also dealing with a stomach bug of some sort. I do think things are about to get better, though. Up next, the Astros play 3 games in Seattle against a team that's underachieving that can't score. 3 games on the road against the Angels, who none of us respect, even though they are a game up on Houston. 3 games against the White Sox, they're 10-21. Return home, 3 games against the Cubs, 3 games against these 6-25 A's with their negative 123 run differential. Holy crap. By the way, if you do want to go to an A's game in Oakland, you can get quite the discount. 37-game ticket package for $99. I don't know where those seats are located. Maybe it's in that former press box where a possum has taken refuge, but that's a nice way to wrap up a series. And I think that the Astros will be back in first place by the end of it, because it does seem like Jose Altuve is going to be back any moment. We used to do a couple of segments last year to focus on a couple of teams. Mariners Watch, which will be back tomorrow before the Astros open up that 3-game series in Seattle. Because I had a little flirtation with the Seattle Mariners. Could I be brought back on the Mariners bandwagon? Who's to say? But we also used to keep an eye on the New York Yankees, because the Yankees are loud, annoying, constantly make excuses in a rivalry that has been so one-sided it hurts. So, after something that took place yesterday, we are officially bringing back Yankees Watch for the 2023 season. Yankees Watch!
The roof opened, kind of killed us.
I threw a great pitch, so I don't know, they got lucky.
I'm not going to make excuses. They did go into the playoffs a bit healthier than us.
2023!
We want Houston! We want Houston!
They out for Houston. They got Houston.
So the Yankees have the same record as the Houston Astros as things currently stand. Check that, 17-15. They're a half game, I guess, up on Houston when it comes to overall standings of the American League. They're 23rd in all of baseball in runs scored. Brian Cashman is still somehow the general manager of the always underachieving New York Yankees. And you want to add to the excuses that you heard at the beginning of that little Yankees Watch segment open? Brian Cashman, like Big Daddy Steinbrenner, or whichever one's the one that's alive and in charge, Hal, Hank, Horatio, I don't know, had this to say about why the Yankees have gotten out of the gate so slow.
The team has played so far.
I mean, it's not, obviously it's not the team that we've put together. We've had a lot of injuries, so.
Oh my God. It's so on brand. There's always an excuse when it comes to the New York Yankees. But fret not, Yankee fans. Brian Cashman, again, still employed, somehow, some way, said that there's still plenty of time left.
I believe we have a championship out with our team. Yeah, I do. And I also know it's a long season. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, in the position we're in, we're going to be thankful that it's a long season, because we're banged up so bad right now. If it was a short season, we'd be taken out. But we have time to make up ground. And we're going to compete with who we have here, and we look forward to getting who we need back, you know, at a later date. Don't give up on us. That's all I can tell you.
I don't think anyone's giving up on the Yankees' chances to make the playoffs by the end of the year, especially because they are plus 500. The American League East, every team is plus 500 in that division. The Orioles are off to a great start. The Rays were off to that historic start. I think, though, that this method that the Yankees have of making excuses for everything. How can you be a Yankee fan with any pride these days? This is a once proud franchise, and they're just constantly making excuses. George Steinbrenner seems like he was a tad eccentric and maybe a little bit over the top with how demanding he was. But if you hear this sniveling, I don't know if people would be fired, but they certainly would be getting an earful from Steinbrenner, and then you wouldn't hear it anymore. But man, it's like the Yankees think they're the only team that deals with injuries. I think Aaron Boone made comments about the injuries that they were dealing with in the second half of last year. You heard the Steinbrenner owner, whoever the hell's in charge now. Again, they all are the same, the Steinbrenner spawn to me. I'm not sure which one said it, but they said, yeah, we had a lot of injuries last year, you know, going up against the Astros in the playoffs. And they're saying they have injuries again right now. Here's the thing. You got so much money, you should have a ton of depth. And maybe you're not spending it in the ways that you used to, but my God, the excuses the New York Yankees make bring me joy and delight. And I'm sure that we will get more over the course of this season. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Says Battery Chucker, New York fans are on suicide watch right now for a 17-15 team. Yeah, they're a weird bunch. I mean, did you see how excited they got, New York fans, after the Knicks won one playoff game? They like to pride themselves on being these like highly educated sports fans. No, they're just like everybody else. It's just a bigger city that they live in with a team that has a little bit more history than most teams across sports. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. It is May the 4th. I have another forced Star Wars reference for you before we hit the road. And, oh my God, was it not glorious to watch James Harden come back to Earth last night? Paul Galancho, don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. I want to play a highlight for me. I want to hear how the Celtics closed out in Game 2. Closed out the Philadelphia 76ers. Give me a little Jaylen Brown.
Take his hand. MVP Horford. Inside Brown. Brown's going to make sure he didn't get another one blocked by Embiid.
The Celtics fan in me is very relieved after last night. But the Houstonian in me is even more relieved that James Harden was James Harden again. He stunk up the joint against the Celtics last night. And look, that 45-point performance that he had was truly impressive. You can't deny it. But isn't it just so on brand that Harden would follow up an incredible game with a dud? 2-for-14 from the field, 0-for-6 from outside. Hey, at least he didn't turn the ball over. But in a game where it was clear the Sixers were trying to get Joel Embiid's feet back underneath him, Harden just could not hit a shot to save his life. And it just makes me relieved. The idea of James Harden winning an NBA championship pains me more than the joy that seeing the Celtics win the second title of my lifetime would bring me. And the Celtics are by far my second favorite team. Like in all sports that I grew up watching, Patriots are my one by like a million miles. Two's the Celtics, and then everything else happens. Like the bandwagons I may have jumped on along the way. Florida Gators, football, Tampa Bay Lightning hockey, Houston Astros. It's a different level of appreciation. Those are the two teams I still root for like a crazy person within the confines of my own home and generally keep to myself when talking about it. But I don't know what it says about me. I would rather Harden just be out of these playoffs and suck the rest than the possibility. Say he was in the Western Conference. Harden making it to the NBA Finals to play a team I like against the Celtics, that would terrify me. The idea of Harden ever winning a championship terrifies me. I don't want it to happen. I don't think it'll ever happen, but it would just be bad for sports and bad for basketball and bad for Houston if he ever won. And anyone who's rooting for him to succeed from afar, I just do not get you. What are the great James Harden memories that you have? What are they? And I know this is a beaten horse, this topic. Me and my dislike of Harden, but he has everything wrong with the sport. Flailing for foul calls, traveling up and down the court, no ball movement, no energy on defense. It's just disgusting. And honestly, if he gave a little bit more on those other ends, I would give him credit for being an amazing partier. Because I actually do respect that part of James Harden's game. A little game we like to call life. But I'm just thrilled that they shoved Harden in a locker last night. 121-87. Take that! Anyway, it's May the 4th. You know what that means. May the 4th be with you. Say it like Mike Tyson. I don't know why that became a thing, but I do have a couple of Star Wars takes I wanted to get off my chest. I said one already, like Hayden Christensen, poor man. Just got totally shafted by that awful George Lucas script. Number two, Boba Fett is a dork. He has cool armor, but that television show that he got further confirmed he's a dork. Honestly, he was cooler when he didn't talk. Now all of a sudden he's talking, I must earn respect. Shut up. Three, Grand Moff Tarkin, most underrated character in the movie. They shouldn't have killed him off. It would have been nice for somebody else to be conflicting with Vader, I think. Because technically they were equals, Vader and Grand Moff Tarkin, in their own separate ways. But Grand Moff Tarkin, the guy who's in charge of the Death Star in A New Hope, when he dies... I'm not going to lie. A little part of the Star Wars universe died there, too.
The guy who goes, fire when ready.
That one. You may fire when ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's, like, the only guy that Vader didn't choke out. Any of the Imperial stooges that he didn't choke out.
The guy's pretty terrifying.
I love the guy when they're having that first, like, board meeting, and he's like, your ancient magic ways, da-da-da-da-da. He just kills
him. Oh, he just chokes him out, yeah. Oh, it's great. Vader just force-choking people to death is probably the very best part of the entire thing.
That guy was, like, the most chokeable guy.
Oh, he was.
He was like, I am in this movie to die.
He did have a really punchable face. Or chokeable neck. I don't know what you call it. Also, the Jedi were real idiots for not discovering that Palpy was Darth Sidious. But before we hit the road, in honor of Princess Leia sending the hidden Death Star battle plans to Obi-Wan Kenobi, I have a question for you. What are the biggest weaknesses for every single Houston sports team? Let's hear a little Princess Leia.
I have placed information vital to the survival of the rebellion into the memory systems of this R2 unit. My father will know how to retrieve it. You must see this droid safely delivered to him on Alderaan. This is our most desperate hour. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
R.I.P. to Carrie Fisher, who was an absolute smoke as Princess Leia. Let's not twist any words here. It's one of the first movies I watched as a kid. And I remember seeing Return of the Jedi, and I was like, whoa! Whoa! Might have become a man in that moment. Anyway, biggest weaknesses for every single Houston sports team. For the Astros, right now, I think it's Dana Brown. I don't know what he's going to do with the trade deadline, but he's got to make moves. And I think he's been put in a pretty difficult spot, too, by Jeff Bagwell and Jim Crane with some of the moves that they made this offseason. As far as the biggest weakness for the Houston Rockets, they literally don't have anyone who can handle the basketball. Like, holy crap. How does that happen? And then for the Houston Texans, I'm not going to say it's ownership. I'm definitely not going to say it's D'Amico Ryans. And I'm also not going to say it's Nick Caserio. Their defensive line, even with Will Anderson aboard and Jerry Hughes there and Sheldon Rankin's in, I still wonder. Like, that was a historically bad run defense last season, which is saying something in 2023 when no one runs the football anymore. Houston Dynamo, their biggest problem is no one cares.
I think the Texans are, like, the second Death Star that's, like, still being built. Like, there's still, same thing with the Rockets, too. The Rockets actually aren't even able to fire the gun yet. They're still under wraps. The plane is still under wraps.
They're more Starkiller base, where, like, it's lamer because they're both doing the same thing that a lot of other teams have done. Like, it's copying the same tired plot point from all the previous movies, and you know exactly how it's going to end. It's going to blow up.
But it was, like, big. I'm just saying, like, they're not even, like, there's barely any, you know, hammer and nails. There's no, how did they? Oh, never mind. That complete aside of how they built something in space.
Great question.
I guess droids, whatever. Yeah, bring
the bong in here. We could go all day. But, hey, how do you build something?
Do they have nails in Star Wars? I never saw a nail.
Do they use nails? Do they use screwdrivers? What do they do? Phillips head? All right, a little garbage time before we hit the road.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
This is a mind-numbing text that has to do with the biggest weakness. Houston Texans' biggest weakness is the owner and GM. Okay. And the fact that no free agent with a brain would play for them after what they did to Watson. What are you talking about? Watson asked out. They were actually doing good by him, it seemed like, although it did take, you know, the whole sexual misconduct, 23 counts of it thing for the Texans to finally actually make that move. What they did to Watson, what are you talking about? People will want to play for this team when they're good, period. That's how it is.
When they're good and they just offer more money. NFL free agency is the most, just offer me the most money, I'll play for
legitimately.
It's like the most like any other job.
Why would people play for the Commanders as many times as they did or sign big contracts with the Dolphins before last year? Like, let's stop acting like Deshaun Watson was wronged by this organization and like that's going to prevent people from signing here. That's a dumb take. Anyway. Garbage time. Guess what, guys? Demand for electricity in Texas is going to exceed supply this summer. Hell right. You're going to get more like, hey, please don't use power notifications from your energy provider. I can't wait. It's going to be great. Hopefully it's not as hot this summer as it was last summer. Fingers crossed. I know this is supposed to be our first warm weekend, I think, of the year. Ugh. A clip of Manchester City's Erling Haaland farting near Bayern Munich's Leon Goretzka during a Champions League match last month has gone viral. The midfielder pulls a disgusted face, that's Goretzka, while Haaland gives his own stomach a soothing rub and grins slightly. Is that out of bounds? If you're on the field just ripping a fatty, and not the, you know, oski-woski kind of fatty. I mean, just like tooting for all the world to hear. Is that out of bounds?
I think tooting on someone is out of bounds. But, like, he's playing a sport. Like, you can't be trying to, you know, put one in the back of the net and also be like, oh, but have to keep one in.
Would you rather have someone spit on you or someone toot on you?
Probably toot.
I feel like at least with the toot, it could be incidental.
It could be incidental and, like, I don't know. Like, what's like, how do you toot on someone? Like they just back up on you.
You look like Terrence and Phillip in South Park.
But, like, I picture spitting on me as, like, spitting in my face. You can't really toot in someone's face unless, like, you're both going for a loose ball or something and Draymond Green's butt is near your face and then he farts on you. Which is a total Draymond Green
move. That is a Draymond Green move, 100%. And on that note,
it started with Logan Webb. Talking about the Giants
from
pooping the brains out. Yeah.
We have so much range here.
Normally it goes the other way around.
Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass, our Twitchers, our Texters, and our callers. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. The Killer Bees are up next. Have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. Peace!
Good to get back home, for sure. Hopefully. Oh, hey.
ESPN 97.5.